This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Frank Stacio. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt is with me in the studio. We've been discussing the fallout from the ongoing NCAA investigation into UNC Chapel Hill's football program. Coach Butch Davis was fired, and athletic director Dick Bedore has announced his resignation. The NCAA investigation has been going on for a year, but the controversy grew recently after UNC was forced to release documents about the football program to the public. NC State fans and members of an online forum looked into the documents and found evidence of plagiarism, evidence the university's own honor court had missed. Reporters from the News and Observer then reinvestigated those allegations and wrote a front page story. So, would the NNO have been on this if the fans from NC State hadn't done the original legwork? Are we better for it when citizens become journalists and journalists carry on the work of those citizens? Is it a healthy precedent? Is it a necessary one? As journalism contracts and the world of online conversations expand, will this be increasingly common? So many questions. Thankfully, joining us now is Adam Hochberg. He is a professor of journalism at UNC Chapel Hill and a fellow at the Poynter Institute's Sense-Making Project. Adam, welcome back to the program.
Happy to be here.
You recently wrote a column for Poynter's website about this current scandal in which you quoted another journalism professor as saying the words fan forum and academic integrity form a combustible mix. How so?
Well, if you hang out on sports fan forums, I don't think anybody who hangs out on sports fan forums would say that they're the most reliable source of information in the world. This time of year, I'm a baseball fan. I'm following the baseball trading deadline, which is coming up August 1st. You can see a rumor probably about every player in the major leagues being traded to every team in the major leagues. There's a lot of rampant speculation, things that people are just making up, rumors that are planted by agents and players and who knows what. So it's not a very reliable source of information on the web. I call it more of a fun diversion. But in this case, what we're talking about here with Michael McAdoo, the UNC football player, this was some good information that was well-researched by some users on an NC State University fan forum. This is a fan forum where they talk a lot of smack about Carolina sports, where they hate the Tar Heels. But in this case, what they found out turned out to be apparently true and has helped push this investigation forward and has been very embarrassing for Carolina.
Well, and walk us back through how this unfolded.
Well, as you said, Michael McAdoo, Dave was talking about being at the center, one of the players at the center of the UNC investigation. So the NCAA, in its probe of the UNC football team, finds that an academic tutor has done too much work for Michael McAdoo on a couple of his term papers for a couple of his classes. And one of their findings was that the academic tutor had written the bibliography page for one of McAdoo's term papers for an African studies class, had formatted it, had listed all of his citations in the proper format with the right commas and semicolons and periods and all those things mm-hmm. that we learned in college. So the NCAA gives him a very harsh penalty for this, a permanent suspension from playing football. He goes to court. He says that that is just way over the top, mm-hmm. that the punishment should be reversed. UNC agrees with that. UNC says, yeah, it was way over the top. We need this great player back. As part of the court fight, there's this huge document dump. 200 and some pages of documents are introduced into evidence in court. Okay, they now become public records. Included in that, a few pages of that 200 and some pages, was the term paper itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, the News and Observer puts that on its website just as a PDF file. You know, here are the court documents, and some other media organizations do it as well, WRAL and a couple of others. The NC State fans start pouring through this with a fine-tooth comb, and they start realizing there are other problems in this term paper besides the bibliography page. They notice some of the language is stilted. They notice some words that they don't think that a young college student would use, and they start typing portions of it into Google or running it through online plagiarism checkers. And lo and behold, they find out that this paper was basically a cut-and-paste job, a compilation of various sources that were out on the web that he turned in as original work for his class.
And, you know, further embarrassment, really, for Carolina, considering that that would seem like a pretty easy thing for the Honor Court or anyone else to have done already.
Well, it raises a lot of questions. Obviously, the first question you have is why the professor didn't notice, especially because one of the articles which had been cribbed from was written in 1911. So this is a 100-year article. And there was even one section in there where he says the population of Africa is, and he gave a number, and that number was accurate in 1911, but of course is just wildly too small based on today. So there were a number of questions that you might ask for the professor who read it. As far as the honor court goes, the honor court, like a jury in a regular courtroom, really would only look at the charges that were brought before it. So what was brought before it was an allegation that the bibliography page was not his own work. You could question whether the honor court should have done its own research, but that would be like a jury in a breaking and entering case saying, oh, by the way, we've just figured out you committed a murder. That's not the way the system normally works.
Right, right. So, okay, so and you point out, too, that what's important here is, of course, now these NC State fans, they pour through this, they figure this out, and they start talking about it. But that it's important that the reporters from the News and Observer reinvestigated the story rather than just, say, taking the NC State forum's comments and putting them out there.
Yeah, and I think the NNO deserves some credit for the way that they handled this, because they obviously missed a big part of this story. Even in putting the documents up on their own website, they missed the plagiarism that was in the documents they put on their own website. But once the NC State fans at the message board jumped upon it, there is sometimes in journalism the opposite reaction of, oh, I don't care what those people are saying or whatever, I'm the journalist here and I'm going to ignore it. And the NNO reporter, Dan Kane, was the investigative reporter who was on this, did in fact follow what they were saying, do his own investigation to make sure that what the fans were saying at the fan site was accurate, and then followed up with a prominent page one article in the paper, which I think has helped move this forward. There was also we should also give credit to a sports blog called Sports by Brooks, which was the first site outside of the NC State fan site to realize what was going on and bring attention to the plagiarism.
Dave DeWitt, you're working as a journalist, of course, every day. And I mean, you think this is an isolated instance? Is this happening more, do you think, or does it happen more for you, perhaps, where you're looking to something like a fan forum for information that might launch you off on another investigative tack?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. As a working journalist, you look for these kinds of things everywhere. Whether it's a fan forum or whether it's Twitter or whether it's anywhere else, you're looking for, to get to Adam's point, you know, these are highly motivated people who did this. And you find these kind of highly motivated people in two areas that I find. Athletics, especially in the triangle here, because if the shoe was on the other foot, you can bet a North Carolina website would have done the same thing for an NC State situation, or Duke, throw anybody in there you want to. And in politics, this is the kind of thing that happens all the time, this kind of citizen journalist fact-checking of all kinds of different things. So, but it's also important as a journalist to take these nuggets, because one out of every, pick a number, 100, 200, are going to be something that's, legitimate, newsworthy, and something to pursue. Kudos to the State fans who did this, because they did what a journalist does for part of the time. They did the research, they looked at it, and then once that part is over, then you have to go and take this information to people who are involved and say, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And that's really, that's a step in journalism that's vitally important, because there are all kinds of excuses, reasons that these things kind of happen, and you need to sift through that. So, but as a journalist, you have to just continually broaden your horizons in the types and places you'll look for these kinds of things.
Well, and of course, what strikes me about this is that the watchword in journalism, of course, is objectivity. And when, as you were saying, I mean, there are places like these fan forums or politics websites where people are coming at it because they've got an axe to grind of some kind. But is a case like this an example of when it's perhaps an advantage to have an axe to grind? I mean, people might not have pulled apart this essay in the same way if they weren't looking for Adam Hochberg something incriminating about Carolina.
Well, almost all of our sources in journalism are motivated by something. You know, if you're covering the, you know, the typical story about pollution in a stream, you've got the environmentalists who are motivated by their concern by the environment. You've got, if it's an industry that's polluting, you've got industry people who are motivated. So everybody's motivated by something. I think one of the things about the new media frontier that we're in now, and you said in the intro to the show today, you talked about citizen journalism. There is a debate in journalism circles about whether something like this really should be called journalism. Mm-hmm. Okay, there are some elements of investigative journalism in it. They looked at a document and they did some investigation and they found some new information about that document. But if you talk about the tenets of journalism being balance and transparency and accountability, there was no attempt by the NC State fans, of course, to try to balance it out and say, oh, before I report this on the NC State message board, I better call up Holden Thorpe and see what he has to say about it. And that's what a journalist would do. I mean, a journalist would say, we need to get the other side of the story. We need to try to talk to the player, the player's lawyers. The other aspect of this situation, and we see this very commonly in this kind of quote-unquote citizen journalism on the web, is that the people who did this are entirely anonymous. Okay, the specific poster at the NC State Board who started this, the only way I know of him is that his internet handle is WoofWoof1. Okay, he was the one who started it. There were some others who also did some good work. Even in an email conversation I had with him, a brief one, I don't know who that is. Okay, journalists are transparent, you know. When the News and Observer reports that story, they have to call up and say, hey, it's Joe Smith from the News and Observer. I'm calling. We don't get to hide behind, you don't know who I am, but I'm going to make an accusation about you.
Right, and probably hard to get through to, say, Holden Thorpe if you call up and say, this is Woof Woof One.
I think, as well.
You're listening to The State of Things. We're talking today with WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt and Adam Hochberg, professor of journalism at UNC Chapel Hill and fellow at the Poynter Institute. And we are taking your calls and emails if you've got a question or comment about citizen journalism, about sports journalism, 877-962-9862 or SOT at WUNC. Dot org. You know, the phrase citizen journalism, I mean, you pointed out the journalism half of that. Do we call this journalism? But I'm always struck by that phrase, too, because it somehow suggests that journalists are not citizens, that, you know, that we're people apart. Dave DeWitt, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, having working for a station with WUNC, In the UNC's right there in our call letters.
Sure.
People make certain assumptions about you as a journalist, whether you're a citizen or not. They say, okay, well, I've tried to talk to folks who are NC State fans, in other words, and they're very, you know, standoffish about talking to people. And the organization you work for, you know, one of the motivations of this group, the PAC fans, is that they think the News and Observer is too light on UNC, that a lot of the journalists in this state have graduated from UNC's excellent school of journalism, and that somehow they give them a pass. So, you know, a lot of times people, getting back to your point, will attach certain things to you as a person, as a citizen, not understanding that I think most journalists in this business do a great job of separating themselves out from that sort of packet of personal biases and personal motivations and understanding how important it is to do your job the right way and to make the tough phone calls, ask the tough questions. So while people say, you know, I'm a citizen journalist, that means I have these biases and I go right out there and show you and this is what it is. As a journalist, you need to remove some of that and just do the job that you've been trained to do and that you really need to do to be a professional journalist. And I think that's really important to note, because Adam's point about Dan Kane saying, well, they've been critical in this. You could easily have said, I'm not going to go look at this, but he was able to put that aside because he's a professional and go investigate these things on his own. And that's the difference, I think, that makes someone a professional journalist. And that doesn't mean getting paid or not, but somebody who's willing to and able to do that and continue to do good journalism.
But of course, one issue too is that, and not so much in this particular case, because the NC State fans were, of course, speaking on a forum, and they, as you said, they weren't going out and reporting, they weren't calling people up. But in cases where so-called citizen journalists do that, in some cases, and we see this more and more now, they actually get more access sometimes than journalists do, because when you call up and say, I'm a reporter for such and such an outlet, the person on the other end will often shut down and shut off. Whereas if you're at an event and somebody who is, say, just a citizen comes up to you and speaks to you, there have been some pretty interesting videos and audio recordings that have come out of that and been put on the web.
Well, one of the things that politicians are always taught when they do media training when they start their political career is remember, you know, the camera's you're always on. There's mm-hmm. always, and that is just more true now than it was, you know, 20 years ago. And one of the things that I think is going to be a case study for a long time in politics is that video of now former Congressman Bob Etheridge when he was encountered on the street in Washington by, we now know, some Republican activists who walked up and said, "Do you support the Obama agenda?" And Bobby Etheridge, there are probably 100 ways he could have responded that wouldn't have been newsworthy, but he chose the 101st way, which was to grab one of the guys and hold his arm and turn into a big violent scene, and certainly played a role. Part of the role in his losing his reelection. But there's a lot of question, okay, were those guys journalists? You know,
right.
They did some things that a journalist would do. They walked up to a newsmaker, they asked a question, and they elicited, in a way, a newsworthy response. On the other hand, again, there was no accountability. They didn't tell him who he was. He kept asking, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" They wouldn't answer. There was no attempt to balance out the story or whatever. So was that citizen journalism? Was it just a couple of, you know, hitmen on the street? I mean, there's all kinds of disagreement about you know, what that was.
And now imagine applying that to 18-year-old, 19-year-old student athletes, where people are coming up to them or giving them social media tools and Twitter and whatnot to go out and sort of make comments that you don't realize are going to become, you know, mainstream media items. You know, that suddenly there are, I know of a lot of fans and everybody who will go up and pose. I've seen this before. They will pose as fans of an opposing team to a player in a restaurant or anybody else and try to start talking to them in such a way to try to get them to say things that they will go then back and use. And I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but when you have these sort of overheated environments, like in this area, athletics, but in politics and everywhere else, but athletics and higher education have a different dynamic because you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds who are unaccustomed to this and, quite frankly, aren't as seasoned. They don't have media training. They do now when they get in as freshman athletes. But you know, it's just a different mentality and it's a different sensibility when you're 18 versus when you're in your 50s and you're a congressman.
Well, and there's also a question, too, I think, of expertise, right? And not just expertise in the sense that we've been talking about in of having professional journalistic training, because there are plenty of professional journalists who don't have professional journalistic training of any kind. You know, you had NC State fans here going through a plagiarized essay, but often the kind of information that's put out there on the web for people to go through are complex financial records and things like that. I mean, what about the expertise that's needed to go through certain kinds of evidence?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons now why the media puts documents out on the web, whether it's the court documents in the McAdoo case or whether it's, you know, all of Sarah Palin's emails when she was governor of Alaska, or, you know, you see these big document dumps and the media are saying, even media organizations like the New York Times are saying, "We don't have the resources to look at every page of this. What do you all see? Flag it. Let us know." And you will get responses from people with a wide variety of expertise on the subject matter. And some of it will be, you know, completely naive, unhelpful information. But, you know, if you get that one person who says, "Hey, I've got an MBA and, you know, this, you know, on the spreadsheet, line 37 doesn't look right," maybe there's something there.
We've just got a minute left, but I wonder if part of the reason that the so-called citizen journalist movement is growing, and I think this would apply to blogs and such things as well, is there just so much information out there that needs to be sifted through that we need more people to sift through it for us, for those of us who, for anyone who doesn't have time to sift through all the millions of documents that are out there?
A lot of wonderful stories on page 1,247 of a piece of legislation. Absolutely.
Right.
And there are fewer journalists, quite frankly, to sit through and do this. You know, we've seen newspapers, television stations, everybody else, they're losing journalists who would sit there and do these things and pour through these documents. So the more people who are out there who will do it, it's better.
Well, I want to thank you both for having this conversation with us. A lot more to talk about, of course. Dave DeWitt is WNC's education and Raleigh reporter and our go-to sports guy, of course. Adam Honkberg is a fellow with the Poynter Institute's Sense-Making Project. Thanks for helping us make sense of some things today. And he teaches at UNC Chapel Hill's School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Coming up on The State of Things, the music of the Lizzie Ross Band. Stay tuned.